Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's a Thursday morning. 312-981-7200. If you can believe it, today is the 38th anniversary of John Belushi's death, so we're going to pay tribute to him. Classic stand-up comedy from The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson Show, which you can see on Antenna TV. Richard Pryor, the one and only, will be hearing that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Marnie Shores, editor-in-chief of The Takeout. Hi, Marnie.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Good, good, good. Thanks for coming out.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're going to do a taste test. You know, many times that you come down here, we do a taste test. Usually it's a blind taste test.
That's right.
But we're just going to eat popcorn and know the brand that we're eating. So we're smelling up the whole 18th floor with a lovely popcorn odor.
But it's a nice
scent. No, popcorn is a lovely smell. It's just that when people come in, I don't know if it's going to clear, because people start coming in around 4, you know, 4:30, I don't know if it's going to clear out by then. So people might come in and go, I'm hungry.
I got to say, when I had to, you know, use two different microwaves at once to microwave all this popcorn, and I had to apologize to all my coworkers in advance because that scent did linger. But at least I didn't burn any of it. That's the worst.
That's the worst part. And we've got Tom is in charge of, by the way, making the popcorn in the microwave, and hopefully he'll do it well.
He hasn't burned it yet.
No, he has not. I can smell the lovely wafting. So we're going to taste test different types of popcorn. First of all, tell us about The Takeout, of which you were editor-in-chief.
Sure. The Takeout, which you can read at thetakeout.com, is a food website. But unlike some other sites that are primarily based in, you know, New York, L.A., or that just review restaurants, we kind of cover food on a more national level. And our tagline is, food is delicious. And that's kind of what we like to remind everybody all the time. We do taste tests, like the popcorn taste test we're about to do right now. We tell people about the latest news in food and a lot of like odd stories that pop up in the food world.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a lot of personal essays about how food impacts people's lives, lots of different stuff like that, because food impacts us all and everybody has a story to tell.
Yeah, that's true. It's a terrific website, thetakeout.com. And oh, by the way, the last time you were here was not for a food related.
That's right.
Topic. It was it's Valentine's Day.
That's right. We were with Mortified Chicago.
That's right. Mortified Chicago. How did the show go?
Oh, it was probably the best one I've ever seen.
Is that right?
I'm not even joking.
Well, first of all, explain Mortified to us so that we
can learn. Sure. Mortified is a stage show, a podcast, a book series, and a Netflix series. And it's in several cities around the country and the world, and it features people reading or performing the things that they created as kids.
Right.
Which most of the time is diary and journal entries. And so people have found this stuff that they really wrote when they were younger, and they perform it so that we can all share the shame together.
I love Mortified. I've loved it for years. I've had people from Mortified on the show many, many times. And, so you did a Valentine's Day, Mortified.
Yes, it was called the Doomed Valentine's Day Show, and it was at our new location at Sleeping Village, and it was phenomenal because, you know, people are extra vulnerable on Valentine's Day, and, you know, the audience was supportive, and just, you couldn't even get a sentence out from these journal entries without just so much laughter, just escaping everybody.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're younger and you think you're in love, it's always hilarious. You know what I mean? And everybody's had that experience. That's the other thing about Mortified. It's a universal thing. Everybody has stuff in their closet that they did when they were younger that is absolutely embarrassing and ridiculous.
That's right.
That's one of the reasons why Mortified works so much. And when you add love to the mix, it's even more ridiculous.
Oh yeah, and it was a lot of heartbreak that was rendered on the page.
Yeah, it's funny because when you're 13 or 14 or something, and your heart is broken, you think the world is over.
Oh yeah,
it's like really bad.
Because what else has happened to you by then?
Exactly,
it's the main event.
Exactly. Do you have another? Is there another Mortified event coming up?
Yes, there will be a show on Mother's Day. And can imagine what the theme of that one might be.
Yeah. We'll get you back in here
that'd be great. And tickets are now on sale, so you can go to getmortified.com and check that out.
Okay.
Too.
It's really great and really entertaining stuff. Getmortified.com. All right. Back to The Takeout, which is food related. This story has been making the rounds. Obviously on late night TV, you're going to get a lot of mileage out of this. The guys, the late night hosts are dropping it in during their news bits. There's a guy here in Chicago, Okay. It's Lent, for those of you who don't know, which explains the proliferation of Filet-O-Fish commercials that we see on TV all the time. So this guy is local. He's in Chicago. And you have to give, if you're Catholic, you have to give something up for Lent. And most people give up meat and things like that.
That's
some people
right.
stop drinking, you know, that kind of thing. This guy has decided... What are you Catholic?
I was just going to say, I gave up chocolate for 25 Lents straight in my life, but I was eventually told by everyone I know that I should stop doing that because I got so grouchy for all of Lent. So they very kindly asked me to not do that anymore.
Well, what did you give up this year?
Nothing. So I replaced chocolate with living my life the way I want.
That's a good decision, I think. Yeah. So anyway, this is the deal. And you guys wrote about this on the takeout.
Yeah.
The guy in Chicago, go ahead, tell the story here.
So it's a guy named Pat Berger. He owns Patty Long's and Kaiser Tiger, if anyone's heard of those. They're pretty big bars, and he wanted to forego all food for Lent. But he wanted to replace all food with just beer. Unlike other people who have attempted this sort of thing in the past, he did seem pretty focused on doing it the right way, getting vitamins into his diet. He spoke with some doctors to make sure he wasn't just, you know, really compromising his health for this stunt. And so right now he is taking, I think he is taking vitamin supplements, and he's drinking a variety of beers, which I don't know the science behind it, but maybe that diversifies your grain intake or something.
Something that, yeah, I would imagine that and being this guy who owns these bars, you know, and knows a lot about beer, is going to know what the content of the beer is.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah, and he was deliberate about it in a way, because unlike others who might just think it's a stunt or see if they could try to do it, he was trying to emulate a certain order of monks that would actually do this historically.
Right, right.
Or so he says, you know. But that was kind of the idea behind it. So it was like, it was a purposeful Lenten sacrifice, but it's also just really fun to read about and think about. And he's been updating his blog about it. And he says that he feels like he's really turned a corner and found his groove with this beer-only diet. So maybe he'll keep it up beyond Lent. Who knows?
It's just it's so strange. I mean, but he is taking it seriously. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's weird. I still think it's very, very weird. but he did take it seriously, consulted, you know, physicians and things like that. But we'll see but right now he's still on this diet, right?
Yeah, I think he's beer. Lost about 18 pounds, but he says he feels good.
Wait. Wait. He lost 18 pounds?
Well,
if he's not eating,
that's
okay,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
it's the liquid diet.
Because I was going to say, you know, I was a beer drinker,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I have the belly to prove it.
Oh yeah, it never made me lose weight.
No.
Drinking beer.
No, of course not. Well, this might change people's opinions then.
That's right.
We'll keep track of this. When is Easter this year?
April 12th.
April 12th. Okay, so he's still got a little while to go.
He might be done early because he shifted it upward a little bit so that it would work on his schedule. I think he had some conflicts that meant he would have to eat some food. So maybe he'll be done even sooner. And then
okay.
We can check on his progress.
All right. And his name again is Pat Berger. And I know Patty Long's, but I don't know Kaiser Tiger.
Kaiser Tiger's a big one. They do a 5-pound meat log that you can order with your friends.
What?
It's called The Bomb.
Wait. What meat log?
It's like, what is it? It's like ground beef and something else wrapped in like sugared bacon. And So it's called The Bomb, and you can order it.
And share it with your friends?
Hopefully you share it with your friends.
How big is it?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen a picture of it, but it's hard for scale. I have to think it's about the size of a human baby.
Good Lord. And it's all just meat and bacon.
It's just meat. Yep.
Oh, man.
Probably goes well with beer.
I absolutely. There's no question about it. And so this is at Kaiser Tiger. Where is Kaiser
yes.
Tiger?
I believe it's in West Loop.
In the West Loop. Okay.
I'm not entirely sure about that. But I used to work at a restaurant review site, and I would read about The Bomb on the regular.
Now, have you tried it?
No, I haven't, but I really want to.
No, you've already, you know, piqued my interest. There's no question about it.
I'll just have to invite 40 friends to Kaiser Tiger to help me eat it.
To help you eat the baby-sized the human baby-sized meatloaf.
That's right.
Meat log, as they refer to it. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So, he can't eat any of that, though. He can't have a bomb.
I hope he's not around the food at Kaiser Tiger all day. That would be heartbreaking.
Yeah, right. That's true. That's true, man. Okay. All right. Well, here's the deal. We got the wafting air of popcorn is in the studio. Mm-hmm. And how many are we trying here? How many did you try?
Well, we tried, how many did we try? We had 8 different kinds in our initial test.
Okay.
And we tried to go for the ones that can be found at most grocery stores, so you're not getting anything too exclusive or regional.
Right.
And we also tried to get the butter versions of each because, there's plenty of seasoned popcorns you can buy or kettle corn, but this is more about, that classic microwave popcorn experience. What's going to give you the best experience?
Right. Okay. Well, let's see. Marnie Schur is here. She's editor-in-chief of The Takeout. They did a popcorn taste test, and we're going to do that. So Marnie's here, and I'm here, and you're here. 312-981-7200 as we continue on WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN as we continue through the morning here till 4 a.m. It is a Thursday morning. And with me in studio is Marnie Schur, who's editor-in-chief at The Takeout, which is a great food website.
Oh, thank you.
And you and your cohorts over at the Takeout did a microwave popcorn taste test.
We did. It was a pretty big operation involving 2 microwaves and 8 bags of popcorn and several dozen colleagues.
Right. And pretty much everybody in the office would pop in and take a taste test and leave notes, correct?
Yes. That's not always the case when we do taste tests, but this was, so many bags and it was all going to go to waste anyway.
Yeah.
And their feedback was incredibly valuable because it was nice to know that we had some consensus builders in the popcorn universe.
Mm-hmm. And you went with the sort of butter-flavored variety.
Yes. We wanted store brands that were available nationwide and the butter flavor to get sort of a sense of the baseline that these brands are working with.
Okay. All right. Well, what's the first brand that we will be tasting here? Okay, it's Pop Secret.
Pop Secret.
Which I've had. Mm-hmm. Which I've had. And you tasted Pop Secret?
We did.
In the office. Well, mm-hmm. Let's taste it. I make sure I got a glass of water here. Yeah. All right. Mmm. It's pretty good.
I don't know about you, but I always go for the pieces that look the most coated in butter first.
Yeah.
Like the yellowest ones.
Yeah.
And what I love about this is how salty it is.
It's very salty.
I'm a big salt fan. So, mm-hmm. Maybe that's too much for some people, but it's very salty and good.
It's tasty. Mm-hmm. And that's a very popular, isn't that a very popular brand?
It is. It's, I think of the big 3 as Pop Secret, Orville Redenbacher, and Act 2.
Yeah.
Just thinking about what I saw at the grocery store most growing up.
Yeah.
Followed by, Jolly Time and I grew up with Orville. I don't think I even knew that I could buy other brands as a kid because that's just what was always in our house.
Was Orville.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm trying to think of what I grew up with. We used to do the Jiffy Pop.
Oh, yeah.
Where it comes with the little pan and you mm-hmm. put it on the thing and then the big, people don't remember it. You just watch the beginning of Scream because it's featured prominently.
Yes,
okay,
it is.
So Pop Secret, and it went over pretty well with the staff, right?
It did. I think people, like us, appreciate the salt.
Yeah, it's a nice salty. Okay, what do we got next? This is Boom Chicka Pop.
Yes, Angie's is a brand that does a lot of like natural, that's like they're billing themselves like a natural food company. And so Boom Chicka Pop is their microwave popcorn. They also sell it in bags of pre-made popcorn.
Oh, okay. So it's Angie's Boom Chicka Pop real butter microwave popcorn. Mm-hmm. That's what we got right here.
Yep.
All right, let's try this. Oh, man, this is good.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think is better about this one than the last one?
Well, the salt, it's butterier.
Mm-hmm.
I like the texture more. And there's a, I don't know, there's a nice corn taste to it.
Exactly. And that's something that I didn't really think about when we undertook this taste test is you can taste the corn of popcorn. And, you know, it's usually hiding under a lot of butter and salt. But you can taste the corn flavor and the texture. Some kernels are just fluffier than others. And this has a nice balance of all.
This is really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good popcorn.
It doesn't taste like you made it in a microwave.
No, it doesn't at all. Boy, it's good. Man, I could eat this all day. Angie's Boom Chicka Pop real butter microwave popcorn. So far, that's my favorite.
Awesome.
We've only had two, and we're testing five. And you guys tested how many?
Eight.
Eight. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're only testing five. But that one, that's very impressive. Did it go over well with the?
It went over very well.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, that's like addictive.
Yeah, a lot of people wrote down their thoughts with exclamation points with Angie's. Yeah.
Okay, Orville Redenbacher.
The classic.
The classic. The classic Orville Redenbacher. This is the one you grew up on.
It is.
Okay, let's try Orville Redenbacher. Here we go. Yeah.
It tastes the way I remember it.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I think that I taste in this, and this is not necessarily a bad thing, a little more oil than butter.
Yeah.
You know? And it's the taste of childhood.
Yeah, it is. It's good. I don't think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not as good as the last one.
Yeah, not as fluffy.
Yeah. And it's a little bit, like you said, it's a little more oily. You know, this is the first one that we've had where the residue is left on my fingers.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting point.
Yeah. That's the first one we've tried where it leaves that oily residue.
And that's less practical if you're sitting watching a movie and want to use the remote to change the channel.
That's true. You got to have a napkin. I got to take a sip of water here. All right. What do we got next?
Next up, we have
Organics Simply Salted Popcorn.
Yes, it's that O Organics brand see in a lot of grocery stores.
Right, O Organics brand, Simply Salted Organic Popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and these are all, as you said, the ones that you guys tested are readily available in grocery stores and that you can get.
Definitely.
All right, let's try this one. O Organics Simply Salted. All right, popcorn, here we go.
No. The face you're making.
Yeah, no. No.
It's funny how sometimes a bad batch can be blamed on how long you microwaved it or something, but this tastes just the way it did in our taste test, which I likened to nibbling styrofoam.
Yep. That's about right.
And one of our taste testers at the office wrote down a beautiful note, which was that the kernels were burly. Which they are. They're hard to bite through. They're kind of burly.
That's true. No, this is bad popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad popcorn.
And I hesitate to assign that to the fact that it's organic or anything. It just seems like they're afraid to put too much butter and salt on it for the health conscious people.
Right. It says here, this popcorn had the most unyielding bite, like nibbling into styrofoam. It's bland, colorless, and puts up a fight. Who wants to pay to have that kind of experience? Products like this give Organics a bad name. On the plus side, bad popcorn inspired some of the best and most thoughtful feedback. And you mentioned the kernels were burly.
Yes.
So, all right, what do we got here? Which one is this, Tom? Okay. It's the last one, right? Okay, here's the last one. And it is Jolly Time Simply Popped.
Yeah, so this is not the classic Jolly Time. This is more of a not organic, but playing to that, you know, natural popcorn.
Yeah. Sorry. Jolly Time was a staple when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a staple. Okay, so Jolly Time. Here we go. Oh, man, this is good. This is good.
I love this one, too. I'm glad we're on the same page about all these.
Yeah, this is really good. This is classic popcorn. You know
classic.
What I mean? Classic.
And the funniest thing that one of my coworkers mentioned when we were tasting this was, they said, this tastes like they went to the most corporate meetings to decide how the popcorn should taste and how they should market it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it worked.
Well, you know, again, Jolly Time is a legendary brand of popcorn, and they did not disappoint. This is really good stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's classic. Jolly Time is just classic. But mm-hmm. I got to say, of the five that we tasted, Angie's Boom Chicka Pop, that's the one I like the most.
And that is the one that everybody in our taste test liked the most.
Is that
almost
right?
Almost unanimously.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Butter flavor and salt and corn. What could you want besides that?
Yeah, yeah. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Now, what were the other ones that we didn't taste?
Let's see. Signature Select Home Style mm-hmm. is kind of a house brand that you can find at any number of, I think it's, you know, Safeway or those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
The house brand, and that was a pretty middle-of-the-road popcorn.
It was
not good, not bad. And then we did Act Two Butter Lovers, which was the yellowest by far. I mean, it was like neon yellow.
Yeah.
And that was pretty polarizing, but I really liked it.
Well, Act Two, I've had Act Two many, many times, and I like their popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
It's
and then the last one here, Skinny Girl Butter and Sea Salt Popcorn.
Yes. Skinny Girl is a brand that, you know, markets itself as the lower calorie option. And the bag was hilariously tiny. It's like a personal sized bag. And mostly, maybe because it was so small, but when we microwaved it, it just tasted very burnt.
Okay. That's not good.
No.
No, that's not good. All right. Well, that was fun. And you can read all about the taste test at the takeout. How long has this been up on online?
A couple weeks now.
Okay.
And we've got some other fun taste tests in the works as well.
What are you looking for? What are you going to be doing?
Well, Easter's coming up, so I was undertaking a taste test of all the grocery store jelly beans.
Oh.
Because now they do all sorts of candy-flavored jelly beans, including Peeps-flavored jelly beans.
Oh, God.
Sour Patch Kid flavor, Starburst, all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, so that's coming up. Jelly beans. We'll get you back down here and eat some jelly beans.
For sure.
All right, Marnie Scherer is here, editor-in-chief of The Takeout. That was fun. Popcorn taste test. You can check it out on the website. We got more food stuff to talk about as the Nick DiGilio Show continues. I'm old enough to say someone has taken my place. Nick DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 4 o'clock. We got our classic stand-up right from The Tonight Show, The Johnny Carson Show, which you can see on Antenna TV. We've got the legend, an appearance on The Tonight Show from Richard Pryor. We'll play that one back. It is officially the 38th anniversary of John Belushi's death, which is amazing that it's been 38 years. And we're going to pay tribute to the late, great John Belushi. We're going to talk about gadgets that are going to confuse modern generations. Kids don't know what they're talking about anymore, and much more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Marnie Scherer is in a studio with me, editor-in-chief of The Takeout. We had a lovely little snack of different types of popcorn.
Yes, we did.
And it was very satisfying and fun, and you can see the results of their popcorn taste test at thetakeout.com. But we have more food topics to talk about here. And this is a piece that you wrote that was written on at The Takeout, and it says, Last Call. Are you a Guinness World Record holder in the making?
Yes.
It's an interesting headline. So what's what are we? And these are all food related Guinness.
Yeah. So in Syracuse.com reported on two guys in upstate New York who want to try breaking the Guinness World Record for largest charcuterie board, which is a record that exists and has already been set by people actually here in Chicago.
Is that right?
Yes. It was about 150 feet long, and the record, I think, was set just this last year. And so these two guys in New York kind of want to pay homage to their the New York food scene outside of New York City. Like, there's a great food scene the rest of the state.
Yeah.
So they want to try besting the record. And since they're from the 315 area code, they want to do a 315-foot long charcuterie board.
Oh, my God.
Like about the length of a football field almost.
So the current, yeah, almost. So the current record, again, you said is 150 feet.
Yeah.
And it held over 400 pounds of food.
Yes. It was sponsored by Boar's Head, as you might imagine.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
But the Guinness committee has really strict guidelines. It has to have a certain amount of cheese on it. I think it's, what is it, 5 types of cheese, 2 types of meat, fruit, dried fruit, and fruit spreads to qualify as a charcuterie board.
Is that right?
Yeah, you can't just slap a bunch of mozzarella sticks and salami on there and call it a charcuterie board.
Yeah, no, you got to take it seriously.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So when are they going to do this?
It's going to be in September in conjunction with a local food festival.
Okay. So in conjunction, these guys are going to prepare a three. How much money is that going to cost? They have to get a sponsor, right?
They'd have to, I think.
A 315-foot long?
Yes.
No.
Loaded up with more than 400 pounds of food.
Yeah.
I don't even know how they're going to build the board because it has to be one board. So maybe they'll find ways to joint it or something.
Yeah. Wow. Boy, but Guinness, you know, whenever I talked about the Guinness World Records, it's always so weird.
Yes.
They have some of the strangest stuff in the Guinness World Record in the world, not just food stuff, which we're going to talk about here. Other food-related, food-centric world records. But some of the, I mean, some people, you know, like setting, like for bouncing a basketball, like how many times can you bounce a basketball?
Exactly. And as long as you apply and get eyes on what you're doing, you can make a record out of almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like you said, bouncing a basketball, who would think like, oh, I could set a world record for this?
Right. Well, you know, Gordon Ramsay had a show called The F Word. The British version was better, but they did a version on Fox because Fox is the Gordon Ramsay network. But anyway, and they would break a food world record every episode. So they had a person from the Guinness.
Oh, wow.
They had a person from the Guinness and somebody there in the restaurant, because it took place in his restaurant, which was the set. It was a great show.
That's really high stakes.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a set, but it was like made to look like one of Gordon's restaurants. And, it, you know, obviously very entertaining stuff. And they would have celebrities on all the time, like dining in the restaurant.
Of course.
And there would be a challenge that the kitchen would have to do. And he would check in. Like, there were two separate kitchens that were serving the same dinners. And whoever served more and with more consistency would win. Mm-hmm. You know, so these two kitchens were in competition. So anyway, they would do these. I'm trying to think of what records that they broke, but
and they really did break some.
They did, and
wow.
they had the guy from Guinness there, you know, with the clipboard, the whole thing, and to make it official.
Wow,
and they would do it. They would do one of those every episode.
That's a lot to imagine as a producer of the show.
Yeah, well, I was very sad that Fox didn't bring it back, because the British version was fantastic. It was on BBC America. And it was called The F Word. And, you know, obviously it's got double meaning because it's Gordon Ramsay. But it means food.
The food word.
Yeah, it's exactly. You know, because but when you think Gordon Ramsay, you do think the other F word.
Yes, you do.
I don't know. It's funny. I've mentioned this several times. I love Gordon Ramsay. I love him.
What do you love about him?
Well, first of all, in Dublin, I went to one of his restaurants.
Oh,
so, and the food was great.
Mm-hmm.
I love the screaming. I think he's a great chef. I've watched a lot of his food shows, because the stuff on BBC America is less yelly, you know, and it's more it's actually more cuisine related.
Sure.
And they cut down. He cuts down on this. He screams a little bit, but nothing like when he's on Fox. He's just that's the whole selling point.
Yeah.
Is him yelling.
And the producers might have told him to just play that up.
Oh,
you know?
No question about it. No, this is America,
right.
You know. But in BBC America, his shows on BBC America were much more about the cuisine.
Huh.
And his cooking and his restaurants and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they were fun shows too, but. But the F word was one of my favorites.
Maybe they'll reboot it someday.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But I mean, I watched 24 Hours to Hell and Back.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with 24 Hours to Hell and Back?
No.
Okay, it's basically, you ever watch Bar Rescue?
Yeah.
Okay, it's Bar Rescue with a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
You know,
sure.
And I mean,
or like Restaurant Impossible.
Exactly.
Okay.
And every show is exactly the same. Gordon shows up. There's the family's all angry. There's about to be a divorce. The restaurant, the kitchen is disgusting.
Yep.
The food sucks. Everything is, you know, and the decor is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have all the conflict. You get Gordon yelling at people, you know, the staff fighting back and all that stuff. And every episode, exactly the same. And then, of course, at the end, the restaurant was beautiful. The food is better. Everybody's happy. And he reunited a married couple.
I think the redesign of the restaurant is always my favorite part. Maybe because the menu, too, because it's fun watching them learn how to become different types of chefs.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it. I think one of my favorite things is because they bring in a bartender too.
Oh, cool!
To help with especially on Bar Rescue, they bring in like a fancy bartender for some dump, and and then force these four bartenders who just basically pour beer and shots,
right?
To learn all these ridiculous drinks with umbrellas and fruit in them, and you just see these people going, "What are we doing?"
Well, you're creating a drink that you can charge a lot more for.
That's exactly right. Okay, we've got. I want to talk more about these because you have more Guinness records here, food related, and they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Marnie Scherer is with us, editor in chief of The Takeout, 312-981-7200. The Nick DeGiglio Show continues right here on WGN.
Take a trip to go and listen to the little dark-haired boy who played the Tennessee flat-top box and he would play.
Nick DeGiglio, I love this song, by the way. Nick DeGiglio Show continues on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio on a Thursday morning. Marnie Scherer is with me. From The Takeout, editor-in-chief. Marnie, thanks for hanging out.
Oh, absolutely.
On a late night, early Thursday.
Thanks for having me.
We're talking about Guinness World Records, about food-related Guinness World Records. If you want to jump in with a talk or a text on any of this, it's 312-981-7200. Also, if you want to text in or your favorite brand of popcorn, we would love to hear from that since we did a popcorn test. So there are a couple of guys who want to put together a charcuterie board that is 315 feet long. That's what they're going to do, and they're going to try and attempt it in September.
Yes.
So there are other food-related world records, including the largest annual food fight.
Yes, I believe 40,000 people were involved.
That's what it says. It was in Spain in 2013.
One of our commenters on the website actually said that they were there.
Really?
For that food fight. And they said, hey, I didn't know I was a world record holder.
Oh, they were in the food fight?
Yeah, they were part of it.
Wow. By the way, I'm in the Guinness World Book of Records.
What?
I am.
For what?
My old buddy Esmeralda Leon, who used to do traffic here on the overnights with me, we didn't know each other then when it happened, but we were both part of the Guinness World Book of Record.
Oh my gosh!
So here's what it was. You know, they show in the summertime. This was when every Tuesday in the summertime they would show outdoor movies at Grant Park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you would go bring your blanket, bring your wine, or whatever. We weren't supposed to drink in the park, but. So we would go every my ex and I would go every Tuesday. We would go, and one of those Tuesdays, they showed Duck Soup, the fantastic Marx Brothers, one of the greatest movies ever made. And so we went, and while we were there, they were handing out Groucho glasses to the entire crowd,
like with the nose, and
yeah,
everything.
The nose and the mustache. So they had all these Groucho glasses, and at the time. They were performing Animal Crackers at the Goodman. So they had the guy who played Groucho there, and he was on stage in front of the screen talking about it. And they announced that they wanted to break a Guinness World or set a Guinness World Record for most people wearing Groucho glasses in one place.
That's delightful.
And so we got our Groucho glasses, and I didn't know Esmeralda back then, but we're both part of the people we were there when they set the world record for most Groucho glasses in one place.
And I can't imagine that record has been or will be broken.
Yeah, I can't remember how many people were there, but it was Grant Park and it was packed.
Oh yeah.
And so but I don't know I'd have to look it up to know what the exact number of how many, but where all of us were there, man, where there's a whole bunch of people outside. We took a bunch of pictures too of like there's a ton of people just wearing Groucho glasses.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So all right, how about this largest packaged food word?
Yeah, so that's like a bit of a stretch, right? It's basically the largest assemblage of packaged foods that form a word when you step away from them and look at them. And it was, what word was it even? It was
free.
Right. Because it was like a calorie-free food and a sugar-free food. I don't know.
So they basically put food packages together to form the F, the R, the E, and the E.
Yes. And when you look at the photo online, I'm sorry, it's not particularly impressive looking. It's just the word free. It uses over 1,000 packages of this cookie product.
It says 1,111 packages.
But the people standing in front of it, you know, it's a little bigger than a human.
Okay.
So, you know. But it's a record. That's what matters.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. And it was in Hong Kong in 2018. All right. How about longest fruit snack?
Yeah. That I had to look at the photos of, which are all available on the Guinness site as well. But I couldn't picture what a long fruit snack would look like. It appears to be more like one of those fruit leathers that you see at the grocery store.
Like a fruit roll-up?
Yeah, like a fruit roll-up.
Mm-hmm.
And there were kids just chowing down on it, which is great.
And it was 91.44 meters.
That's as long as I want my fruit by the foot to be every time I eat one.
Exactly. And that was in Canada in 2011. Those crazy Canadians.
What will they do next?
What are they going to do? Largest cookie mosaic.
That was a rather stunning portrait of a, I believe, a Japanese diplomat.
Mm-hmm.
And the cookies formed a really striking and very recognizable photorealistic image.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we can check out these pictures online because I do want to see these things.
Mm-hmm.
It measured 318.85 square meters,
which you can't imagine how somebody dreams this up and then executes on it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then that was in Japan in 2018. All right, how about this? Someone has the record for most bagged lunches assembled in 3 minutes.
Yes, it was to advertise a better way to pack a child's lunch. I don't know if it was promoting the health of the lunch or the efficiency for moms, but it was part of a promotional event. And I believe 9 meals were assembled in 3 minutes.
That's
which,
what it said. 9 bags, yeah.
I don't know if that includes actually making any element of the food, like making the sandwich or
right.
something. But I would assume it would, because if you're just throwing stuff in a bag, you could pack more than 9.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would imagine, you know, you got, so what, I mean, I included a sandwich,
probably like a sandwich,
a milk,
an apple
cookie, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was Vanessa Lachey is the one who, 9 bags she did. And this was right here in America in 2019. All right, largest cream-filled biscuit.
Well, and of course, what they're really saying is largest Oreo,
yeah,
right?
You
know, you can't always say it, but the pictures of this Oreo are stunning.
Is that right?
I've never seen more of a cream-filling center in my life. It goes beyond double stuff, mega stuff.
Yeah.
It's just an absolute kiddie pool of filling.
That's crazy. Marnie Scherr is here. It's Nick DiGilio show on 720, continuing editor-in-chief of The Takeout. We're talking about some food-related Guinness records. So largest Oreo weighed 73.4 kilograms.
Yeah. Which is like, what, 150 pounds or something?
Yeah. Wow, that's nuts. I gotta say, I'm glad that these the Oreo Thins are out.
You are?
Yeah.
You might be the only one.
Yeah. I'm not a big, I don't like the double stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't like the double stuff. Tom's looking at me like I'm nuts.
I think I'm looking at you that way too.
I know. Most people right now listening are probably going, what's wrong with this guy? But I like the Thins.
You know what else they have Thins in now? They're doing a York peppermint patty Thin and a white chocolate Reese's Thin.
Ooh.
So if you like the better ratio of chocolate.
Well, I like my peppermint patties big.
Yeah.
That one I'll go with. I'm not as crazy about the cream filling. As mm-hmm. It's just, and I know it's weird. As soon as the Thins came out, I was like, oh. And evidently it's an item that's specifically for me and nobody else.
You're keeping them in business.
Yeah. I always thought the double stuff was way too much.
Ugh, disagree.
I know. Everybody, like I said, you listening at home, you're like yelling at the radio right now. What is wrong with DiGilio?
That reminds me, Not what is wrong with DiGiulio, but the Oreos part.
Right.
On the takeout, there's an article where we take all the cream fillings from an entire pack of Oreos and put them between two Oreo cookies.
Oh, come on.
And the pictures are unbelievable.
Oh, man, so come on. Is that on the website?
Yes, I encourage you all to check it out on thetakeout.com.
That's hilarious. That's great.
It's towering.
Tom, you would love to eat that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Because he looked at me like I was nuts when I said I don't like the...
That's it's the best part.
That's un-American.
Now, let me ask you this. Do either of you twist the thing and then scrape off the cream?
It depends on my mood.
Really? Tom, yeah. You do that?
Yeah, there was one time I kind of did what they did, the takeout, but I didn't stack it between two Oreos. I just scraped like an entire package of Oreos. Just scraped all the cream into a bowl.
You just gotta be kidding me.
And I would dip the cookie into the cream bowl.
You're nuts.
Hey, I told you my story about the spider and the centipede yesterday. You know, as you said, starved for entertainment is what I am.
All right. Well, there you go. And then the largest showcase of chocolate dresses.
That?
What?
I want to learn so much more about how these things were made, but there were 23 dresses at a fashion show made of chocolate. The models wore them. I have no idea how they kept them from being melted by just body heat.
Yeah.
They must have been put on while frozen.
So there was 23 outfits, and this was in, of course, France.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
And it was the Salon du Chocolat.
All right. There it is. So there's some records in it and I really have to see this picture of the Oreo that you guys did.
Oh, yeah.
I have to check that out.
Definitely.
Oh, man. That's crazy. So I'm sure, Tom, that people are texting in that I'm an idiot for not enjoying the cream filling.
Actually, in fact, 630 says, I love the thins too.
There you go.
What?
There you go. There's at least one other person on this planet that likes the thins more.
I knew there was a reason they were still on the market.
Yeah. All right. How about this? 773 sends in a text that says, we did it for people who are just tuning in. We did a popcorn taste test a little bit earlier. And what was the winner again?
Angie's Boom Chicka Pop.
That's right. Angie's Boom Chicka Pop was the best microwave popcorn. Salted, you know, it was perfect amount of butter, salt, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's good. And actually, Tom's, you know, he's eating it right now as we speak.
I'm glad it's not going to waste.
Yeah. But anyway, the 773 says, I grew up on Jolly Time and Popeye's white popcorn kernels.
Popeye's?
I don't know Popeye's. I know Popeye's cereal, which came in bags. Did you remember Popeye's cereal?
No. Was Popeye's the brand or the type of cereal?
The brand.
Okay.
And it was, because I used to work at the Jules.
Okay.
And this is a long time ago, so I don't know if the item is still available, but it was always a pain in the neck, because when you would stock cereal, mm-hmm. you know, they would, you know how cereal is on the how it looks on the grocery shelf. All of a sudden, they're in the middle of the cereal aisle. There's these two bins that you would have to fill with bagged popcorn.
Yeah.
With bagged cereal.
Yes, exactly. And you have to make sure they don't puncture.
Yeah. So like right in the middle. And aesthetically, it was just not pleasing. Because if you look and you see all the boxes of popcorn, it looks really nice. And suddenly here's a couple of bins with bags of Popeye's cereal in it. Because I think they had like Popeye's regular and then Popeye's light or something. I can't remember.
Well, now I have to check whether that's available at the store still.
So Popeye's cereal or white popcorn?
Both.
Yeah.
Well, the white popcorn, it looks like it was literally like Popeye the Sailor.
No, yeah. That's what the cereal was,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
I can see right now it's in a...
Not Popeye's. You were thinking chicken?
No. I guess I was just thinking of a totally unrelated Popeye.
No. The cartoon character, Popeye.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at a picture of it. It appears to be a pretty old tin, but yeah, Popeye brand, white, hullless popcorn.
Huh. All right. That doesn't make any sense. Cereal popcorn, but no spinach?
Exactly.
They didn't have a Popeye's spinach? Did they have Popeye's spinach?
I think I've bought Popeye's spinach from Jewel before.
Because I know Phyllis Diller had a spinach.
Well, she had a chili.
No, chili. That's right. She had a chili. Phyllis Diller had a chili. We discovered that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it still around?
No.
Oh, okay.
But the visual is fantastic.
Oh, I bet.
Because there's like a character of Phyllis Diller on the back going, wow! You know, All right. We have to break here. By the way, 773 says that they used to eat that. They grew up on that, but now they eat the white kernels from Mariano's.
Oh, nice. To try those out.
Try that out. Okay. We're talking with Marnie Shore. More food stuff to talk about here. She's from The Takeout on 720 WGN. And we shall return. Galveston.
Galveston. I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston. Galveston, oh,
another great song. 312-981-7200. We're live in the Skyline Studio. It's the Nick DiGilio Show here until 4 o'clock. Classic stand-up at 2:30, as we do every morning. This is as classic as it gets. Straight from The Tonight Show, The Johnny Carson Show, which you can see on Antenna TV, the legendary Richard Pryor. And this is the 38th anniversary of John Belushi's death, so we're going to pay tribute to him. And Marnie Schur is here. Hi, Marnie.
Hello.
Editor-in-chief of The Takeout. We were just talking about cereal,
mm-hmm.
and someone just sent a picture. Working at the Jewel now, we currently carry the Malto Meal brand bagged cereal.
Ooh.
That sounds good. Well, they just showed he just took a picture of the cereal section, and there's a lot of bagged cereals.
Well, now that I'm, an adult paying for my own cereal, I want the value that the bagged cereal offers, because
yeah.
I can finish a box in one sitting, frankly.
Yeah.
I think that the bag is just like more for less money.
Yeah, these are all Malto Meal different. These are all different brands or different flavors from Malto Meal. There's Frosted Flakes flavored. There's Mini Spooners, Honey Nut Scooters.
They have better names, too.
Let's see. What is this? Golden Puffs. These are all Malto Meal products.
I love Frosted Flakes, but I would change brands just to pay a lot less.
Yeah, for Malto Meal.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this. The current sale at Jewel, he said you just took a picture of the shelf. It's buy one, get one free, so you might want to...
I got to run over there.
Might want to get to your Jewel. Do we know this is a 708 area code? Do we know where his Jewel is?
Well, I grew up in the 708, and so I have a few ideas of where it might be.
Okay. All right. So it works at the Jewel. Man, that's bringing back memories at 1:37 a.m. because I used to work the overnight shift
uh-huh.
at Jewel. And
fun
just
stuff.
Just looking at stocking shelves at 1:30 in the morning. I don't know how many times I've done that. But anyway. All right. So bagged cereal available everywhere. Thank you, listeners. 312-981-7200. All right. Flippy, the fast food robot, made the news a little while ago.
Yes.
People were concerned that Flippy was going to take over people's jobs because Flippy can flip burgers and prepare fries
can.
And stuff like that.
Flippy can technically do it all. It's a matter of how well he does it.
Right.
I look at me trying to assign personality to a robot, how it does it.
Yeah.
but Flippy is a robotic mechanical arm, and it debuted either last year or 2 years ago. The company has been around since 2016, but
yeah.
Flippy can flip burgers, and a lot of people were watching the robot do this at its burger fast food location, and it just took a lot of strange pauses while flipping, and just in such a way that it was not more efficient than a human and
mm-hmm.
not as fluid, and so it kind of messed up on its first day on the job. But Flippy is now back, new and improved, and is starting to be rolled out. I believe Flippy is installed at Dodger Stadium. So
Flippy is at Dodger Stadium,
and so it's only a matter of time before more restaurants figure out like this might be a nice way to supplement the workforce, by having a tireless machine help out.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable to think that our work can be outsourced in that exact way.
Yeah. And Flippy's just weird looking, too.
Yeah, Flippy does not look like the robots that you'd see in a cartoon or pop culture.
Right, no.
It's just a soulless arm.
Yeah, flipping burgers. And, I don't know. I don't know. I don't like this. I don't like Flippy.
You sound upset.
I'm anti-Flippy.
Flippy... hopefully that Flippy never gets better at what we do than us.
That's always the problem. But you know what? The machines are good. I've seen Terminator 2. The machines, Skynet is a real thing.
It's too late.
Did Flippy come from Skynet? Did Skynet make Flippy?
Oh, no.
Do we know who made Flippy?
Flippy is a product of a company called Miso Robotics.
Miso Robotics.
And they test it in a fast food restaurant that they themselves own and operate. So it's
sort of like
a testing ground.
Yeah.
So it's impossible to tell what this would look like if it was installed in a McDonald's or Burger King kitchen. But for now, Flippy is tirelessly working away, trying to impress people.
Did Flippy have to wear a sanitized hat?
And a little glove to flip the burgers? Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. It's funny because I used to, in addition to working at Jewel, I worked at McDonald's. I think every teenager at some point works at a fast food place. Yeah. You ever work at a fast food place?
I did not. I worked at like a UPS store.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Still customer service in a way.
Thomas, why are you laughing at the UPS store?
I don't know. I think UPS stores are a strange place.
It's a strange place where people are not their happiest all the time.
No. I would imagine. Yeah, I would imagine you had to deal with some pretty bad customer
luckily
complaints.
Only a few.
Yeah. Well, when I worked back in the day when I worked at McDonald's, and this was like the early 80s when I worked at McDonald's, we had to wear these terrible polyester, you know, uniforms.
Mm.
Brown. Terrible. And the name tag, and we used to have to wear the paper hat, and it had to be, you couldn't have it back on your head. You had to be straight. It had to be like in the middle of your forehead.
Just catching all the sweat.
And I go to a fast food joint now, and they don't have to wear any of that crap.
No, I think they just have to wear the aprons now, right?
Yeah.
And maybe hats. I know Starbucks requires hats.
They do. There are hats, I think, at most. But these are like they're hats.
Right.
They're not
real
the ridiculous paper hat that we had to wear. And then, you know, when I worked at Jewel, we couldn't wear jeans. We couldn't wear gym shoes.
Even on the overnight shift? When no one was around?
You know what? No, not on the overnight shift. But because I worked during days as well.
Okay.
Because I worked there for a bunch of years. Mm-hmm. And, but there was like this dress code. You had to have a tie. You had to wear a tie.
Wow.
And an apron. You ever see what people are wearing now at Jewel?
No.
No, it's nothing.
I mean, it's not a tie. I never expect that out of people. I feel bad when people have to wear the whole suit.
Oh, I know. No. The whole, and we had to have a tie, had to have this, and it was we had the apron and everything. My dad works at Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
He bags groceries there. And it's just a shirt. It's just a Jewel. It's like a Jewel shirt and the name tag, and that's it.
That seems to make more sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I worked at these places during the wrong period of time. So are they looking to really expand Flippy?
I think they are because they are selling it as a package to restaurant people as like a subscription. So you pay a couple thousand a month to operate Flippy in your kitchen.
So that would break it down to $3 per hour.
Yes.
So that would definitely save a little money.
It would, unless, you know, it breaks down a lot and you've got to call a technician.
You've got to repair it. Yeah. I wouldn't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust Flippy.
I want my tater tots hand dropped into the fryer.
Yeah, I don't need. I don't want that. I don't want a metallic taste to my tater tots.
That's
wow,
right.
Let's try that out. A little alliteration right there.
Metallic taste of tater tots.
Say that fast 5 times. See what happens. All right. So screw Flippy is the. All right. So we got more food. Related topics to talk about. Marnie Scher is here, editor-in-chief of The Takeout. If you have any comments, if you want to share your thoughts on some food-related stuff, or if you ever worked at a fast food place, 312-981-7200. Here, the Nick DiGilio Show continues right here on 720 WGN.
Someone knocking at the door, somebody ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door, somebody's ringing the bell. Do me a favor, open the door and let him in. Ooh, yeah. Someone's knocking at the door, somebody's ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door, somebody's ringing the bell.
All right, Nick DiGilio here, continuing on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio, and we're here till 4, and the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. So we were just talking off the air. Marnie Scher is here, editor-in-chief at The Takeout, a really great food website. We were talking off the air about Cheesies.
Cheesies Pub and Grub?
Yeah, Cheesies. And Tom used to work at Cheesies. But he worked at the one. I didn't even know there was one in it. I just thought there was only one. It was the one at Belmont and Sheffield.
Right. And that one is probably the most legendary, right?
Yeah. I would think so. I mean, I can tell you the number of times I was at the L&L
Oh, yeah.
And then just walked out.
Oh my gosh.
At like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. The L&L, that was always my first or last stop of the evening.
When I was a drinking man, I loved that bar. Yes. I love that bar.
$2 PBR bottles.
Oh, please, man. Mm-hmm. The jukebox was fantastic. It was just, you know, and it was a dive.
Yes.
And it still is. It's still around, right? L&L is still around, right? It's got to be.
I mean, it was as of that. I went 2 years ago and it was still alive and well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still there.
Of course it is. God. It's not going to go anywhere. L&L is not going to go anywhere. You could change that. You know, that whole area has completely changed, mm-hmm. you know? The Punkin' Donuts is gone. All that stuff is gone. But there's L&L, man. That's not going anywhere. And they probably
Have you guys ever been to Pick Me Up Grill or Pick Me Up Cafe?
Yes.
They're moving.
They
are moving.
Yeah.
They're moving to my neck of the woods.
Mine,
oh, are they?
Too. Very excited.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If they were any, luckily they were going to be over on Clark Street. So at least a 20-minute walk. Any closer would be a problem.
But anyway, you worked at, what was the experience of working at Cheesy's like?
Well, it was at the risk of the owners being listening right now. It was a great experience. It really was. No, we had a bunch of regulars and you learned how to make a variety of different sandwiches that you could bring on home. You know, like the tenderizer, which has chicken tenders and barbecue sauce on it, or the nightmarish experience of learning how to make the El Jefe.
Yeah, I know that one.
What's that one?
Taco meat, jalapenos, like onions, all the taco stuff on the bread, and then you have to put that in a cheese quesadilla.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It sounds like a joke, but it's very
real. No, it's real.
It's very real.
It sounds technically difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. We refused to make it for delivery. It was not allowed. If someone called in a delivery like, hey, can we get an El Jefe? The answer was no, because it would fall apart in the bag.
Yeah.
You guys were looking out for them.
That's exactly
right.
You're
doing them a favor.
It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Marnie Shore, editor-in-chief of The Takeout. Another piece that you guys wrote about. This is a headline right here. Peeps are the latest food you can stick on your feet.
Yeah.
And we're coming up on Easter.
We are.
And peeps are out there now. You can't stop them. I think they're disgusting, quite frankly.
So I usually do too.
Yeah.
But they've been playing around with some funky flavors lately. And they made a, brace yourself, sour watermelon peep. And I actually love it.
Really?
I was not expecting to fall in love with peeps.
I've never had a flavored peep besides the peep flavor.
Yeah.
Just the yellow peep.
They're getting really clever with them these days, and they're going all sorts of crazy directions.
Yeah. Well, so now they're making shoes?
So Crocs is currently undergoing collaborations with a number of different brands. There are Peep Crocs. I don't know if anyone's familiar with, I think they're called gibbets, but they're the charms that you kind of put in the Croc. You see them on kids' shoes a lot, like little characters.
Yeah.
They're little charms you stick in the little holes of the Croc.
Right, right, right.
And so they made the Crocs in Peeps colors, and then you can stick either the marshmallow chicks or the marshmallow bunnies in gibbet form.
Into the gibbets.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So, but
I've seen a picture. It looks ridiculous.
It does. Maybe not as ridiculous as the KFC collaboration that Crocs did.
Uh-huh. I remember this. Tell everybody about this.
The charm that you can stick in those is a fried chicken, like a drumstick.
Right.
And it's on red and white striped shoes that look like the KFC boxes. It's a sight to behold, and I recommend that you go to thetakeout.com and take a look for yourself, because fast food fashion is something that we're reporting on more and more these days.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And what else? There's another one, In-N-Out?
Yes, In-N-Out designed a slip-on canvas shoe that looks, it's a little more subtle. It looks like the design on their drink cups. So it's got the little red palm trees and striped details.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice and subtle. Still looks like a normal shoe. It doesn't have a big piece of fried chicken.
It doesn't have a piece of fried chicken sticking out of the top of it. And then Dunkin'
is making tracksuits. And on the back is stitched the slogan, glazed for days. It looks pretty sharp, I gotta say.
The prices range from $20 from a t-shirt or a beanie to $85 for the whole tracksuit.
I wonder if they've sold the whole tracksuit yet.
For $85, I don't know. I mean, that would be a little bit much for a gag gift.
I would think.
Yeah. Glazed for days. By the way, it's three Z's.
Yes. I don't know how
glazed
you pronounce that.
Glazed for days. And Snoop Dogg is responsible for that slogan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. When he was behind the counter working at Dunkin' in the commercial?
That's right. And he's also their Beyond Meat representative.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's pretty cool. Get your Croc shoes. Are they available now?
They are.
Peeps, and Peeps shoes.
I think they range from $39 to $49 for the Peeps, and then I think the KFC one is more in the $60 range.
$60 for the KFC shoes? Jeez.
Well, people will do anything for fashion.
Okay. 309 says, do you guys remember Sizzling Bacon? I do.
Wait, what is it?
Sizzling Bacon.
No.
I love this bacon. I used to eat it all the time when I was a kid. They stopped making it years ago. Yeah, Sizzling isn't... I'm not sure if it was real bacon or if it was like... Because it was Sizzling, mm-hmm. meaning that it was a lighter bacon. There was less calories and less fat.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was actually a pork product or fake. I'm not sure.
I used to eat those Bacos, like the little chopped bacon pieces.
Please.
And I only recently realized there was probably no bacon at all inside a Baco.
I would put it on, I would drown a salad in
yes.
those things. Oh, man. Okay, and then finally, we've got a candy store that's a pharmacy. Now, here's the thing, though. I will say this. It's a pharmacy-themed candy store, and it's opening in Boston.
Yes.
Okay, but years and years and years ago, you would get candy at the pharmacy.
That's true. It's almost like coming full circle in a weird way.
Yeah.
This is a store called Happy Pills, and they're opening their first U.S. location in the north end of Boston.
Happy Pills.
And they're really leaning into the theme. So it's like a clinical white store. It's like fluorescent lit. And around the edges of the store, there are these bulk candy bins.
Okay.
But you don't fill up a bag with your product the way that you would at any other bulk candy store. You are given pill bottles. You can choose...
like prescription bottles?
Yes. And I can't remember what the small one is called. The large one is called the Chronic. And you use those to buy the candy. And then you can customize the label on your pill bottle. So they're really leaning into this theme.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
I don't know how appetizing it is, but they're really committed.
Wow. So you go in, you get your prescription filled, and you walk out with Happy Pills.
Happy Pills.
And it's called Happy Pills. Is it opened already?
I believe it is. And the one, they opened one in Spain before that's been around for a few years.
Okay. That's pretty funny. I think that's pretty funny. You go in and get your prescription bottle and your... And you get the label. You get to customize the label and everything. Now, let me ask you this though. Here's the main question. Mm-hmm. It's candy inside the pill bottle.
Yes.
But is the cap childproof?
Where you have to like push down and twist.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing to keep myself from eating too much
exactly.
of my candy.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to figure out how to open the damn bottle.
I would love that.
Nick was just in Walmart and bought a pack of Oreo Thins on your suggestion.
Wow.
Hope you didn't steer me wrong. So I inspired somebody to go into a Walmart and buy some Oreo Thins.
You might get a follow-up saying, what are you talking
What's
about?
What's the matter with you? Yeah, that's what most people were probably thinking. Is it how could DiGilio like the Thins and not the double stuff? Bonnie from Kenosha, I had to wear this at my first job at Burger King. I used to sing on the mic, too. So she would be singing on the mic. I can't aptly describe this thing. I'll just show it to you, Marnie. That's what she had to wear.
Wow. Okay. So we're looking at quite a loud ensemble.
Really loud ensemble and a giant weird striped hat.
Yeah. It almost looks like a hat that you'd buy from a Halloween store.
Yeah, no, it looks like a Halloween costume.
Yeah,
it does.
Wow.
Man, I wonder if people still have their old uniforms from their old jobs.
They absolutely should.
I should have kept my McDonald's.
The paper hat would have disintegrated
by
now.
Yeah, it would have disintegrated. And maybe this, you know, because it's polyester, it's not going to disintegrate. That stuff's going to last forever.
That's right.
That polyester and cockroaches are the only things that are going to be left. But no, this thing is ridiculous.
That is unreal. It looks like a hoax.
Bonnie from Kenosha. I used to sing on the mic.
You got to make it fun for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, so really ridiculous outfits. This really does look like a Halloween costume.
We should definitely do a feature on The Takeout about the more ridiculous fast food uniforms that have existed.
I think that's a great idea.
That's inspiring.
I think that's a great idea. And it's not so crazy now. Now it's a little, you know, I know that there is a required uniform at many of the fast food places.
It's usually just like a shirt or a polo.
It's like a polo with
a hat.
What do they wear at Popeyes?
I think they just do the apron and maybe the shirt is orange.
Yeah. And the hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Okay. Have you had the Popeyes chicken sandwich?
I have indeed. The line when I went wasn't too bad, but it was a high stress environment.
Oh, I bet.
Because I went back in August at the peak.
Oh God!
But it was a good sandwich.
It's a very good sandwich.
Yeah.
Have you tried the fish sandwich?
The new fish sandwich. Have you seen the commercials for it?
No.
Ooh, it looks good.
It makes sense that they're debuting it now during Lent.
They're debuting it now for Lent. Yeah, but doesn't it look great?
It tastes great.
Oh, you had it?
I had it.
Oh, man.
A buddy of mine, his dad owns a few Popeyes out in the suburbs.
Oh, wow. What was best about it? What did you like about it?
I don't know. It just, it tasted like actual fish, unlike the Filet-O-Fish.
Interesting.
I'm not trying to hate, but it tasted like a fish sandwich.
Yeah.
It was a solid cut, too.
It looks, I mean, the commercial make you drool.
Huh.
The commercial for this Popeyes fish sandwich, it will make you drool.
That might be my weekend plan.
Yeah, no. And it looks like a big hunk of fish, too.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Money's worth.
Marnie, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for hanging out so late with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was fun eating popcorn with you, and everybody should check out thetakeout.com, and we'll have you back down again soon.
Sounds great.
All right, Marnie Schur, editor-in-chief of The Takeout and The Nick DeGiglio Show. I can't even say my name. The Nick DeGiglio Show continues.